Greetings. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries, Chapter 38. The Mystery of the Indwelling Christ. Humility in Rejection. Scriptures. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:10-14. The humble do eat and are satisfied. Praise Jehovah. To those seeking him, your heart doth live forever. Remember and return unto Jehovah. Do all ends of the earth, and behold, they bow themselves. Do all families of the nations. For to Jehovah is the kingdom, and he is ruling among nations. And the fat ones of the earth shall have eaten, and they bow themselves before him, bow to all going down to dust. And he who hath not revived his soul, a seed doth serve him. It is declared of the Lord to the generation. They come and declare his righteousness to a people that is born, that he hath made. Psalm 22:26-31, 1898, Young's Literal Translation. But I am a worm, and not a man, cursed by men and looked down on by the people. I am laughed at by all those who see me. Pushing out of their lips and shaking their heads, they say, he put his faith in the Lord. Let the Lord be his Savior now. Let the Lord be his Savior, because he had delight in him. But it was you who took care of me from the day of my birth. You gave me faith, even from my mother's breasts. I was in your hands even before my birth. You are my God from the time when I was in my mother's body. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. There is no one to give help. A great herd of oxen is around me. I am shut in by the strong oxen of Bashan. I saw their mouths wide open, like lions crying after food. I am flowing away like water, and all my bones are out of place. My heart is like wax. It has become soft in my body. My throat is dry like a broken vessel. My tongue is fixed to the roof of my mouth, and the dust of death is on my lips. Dogs have come round me. I am shut in by the band of evildoers. They made wounds in my hands and feet. I am able to see all my bones. Their looks are fixed on me. They make a division of my robes among them. By the decision of chance, they take my clothing. Psalm 22:6-18, 1965 Bible in Basic English. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Psalm 2:1-6. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion, when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were the crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplate, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Revelation 9:1-12. Note, definition of Abaddon and Apollyon, a destroyer. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in the same manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. They have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Revelation 11, verses 3-8. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Revelation 13, verses 1-9. And scriptures. Two visions. First vision. A view of the Christ during crucifixion. I saw Jesus impaled and elevated upon his cross in the throes of dying. He was completely abandoned and alone. No man stood with him or by him as he went through the deepest part of the pain of this death. Only the Father was in him, but all men had forsaken him. What I saw, however, was that prior to the cross, in the revelation of his person to Israel, that all Israel, right at the very start, received him not. A portion of the pain of his cross was the pain of total rejection. There were in Israel a small number, only a very few, who knew he was the Christ of God. But the nation as a whole rejected Jesus from being known as the Messiah, the Redeemer of Israel. He had come unto them, but they did not receive him at all. Those few who did receive him were present at his crucifixion, but they were scattered as time went by and as death began to take Jesus away. In the end, only the Father was in him. The Father at no time ever forsook Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. The important detail of the vision was seeing the utter rejection of Christ by mankind. That is part of the suffering that is to be endured by all those who would follow him. End first vision. Second vision. Standing slightly to the one side of the throne room, I beheld the Lord Jesus at the right hand of the Father. As the Father sat upon the throne, I saw in his left hand the scepter. Jesus then reached over to the scepter in the hand of God and took it with his right hand. He then stood once again, holding forth the scepter straight out and into the time that is ahead of mankind. I saw this and bear record that this is true, that Jesus holds now the scepter of the kingdom. Everything we see now in the world of men, in the destruction of man's systems, and in the setting up of the Lord's everlasting kingdom, will come to pass in the perfect will of he who bears the nail-scarred hands and feet, but who grasps the scepter. Nothing will happen haphazardly or out of place or in disorder, even though the destructions of our time may seem to be out of order. The Savior holds the scepter. He has determined to complete this time we are in with a successful conclusion, and to end it with the kingdom of his Father swallowing up all other kingdoms. I saw that this is present truth, a vision for this present time, that this will be done even now in this time we are in, and during the coming judgments and destructions we will see in the world around us. Not only so, but the scepter also represented that army which will march in this time. And visions. One of the main distinguishing marks of an overcomer in this day is their absence from all that is out there in the world of men. When I say absence, I do not mean their need to work at jobs or be a part of this society. I mean they cannot be a part of anything that man does in this world that is not part of the Spirit of Christ in them. These hold to a true path in spite of having to exist in this world and in the painful process of getting through this life with any measure of hope. The entire world of men has fallen now under the judgment of the Lord. He has held this world up to the scrutiny of his gaze and has determined to finish this second world, undoing all that man has done outside of the will of the Lord. Nothing you see around you in this world will be allowed to enter the millennial age of Christ that is also dawning. And no one person will be allowed to enter that age without first having reined in their lives their personal ungodly will. The power of this world, the latent power of the soul, and the power of personal iniquity will be brought into subjection to Christ very rapidly. And in this subjection will end the present ways of the world's systems. All around you in the world, you will see the tremendous shakings as the Lord begins to collapse all of man's systems. Nothing that you see which was opposite the kingdom of God will endure this shaking. All of it will now totally collapse economically, politically, and religiously. Everything is slated to be put off and down and to be crushed under the foot of Christ. The millennium will begin with the Lord replacing his kingdom with this world's kingdoms. No ruling power in the earth now will be able to withstand the shakings, and none of them will survive. The nations were created as people were created. They were created as individuals. Tens of thousands of nations in world history have passed out of existence. Just as individual people pass away from the earth, the nations in totality all come under the same judgment at this time. All nations, I say, whether they be nations that existed from the time of Noah or nations that existed prior to the time of Noah, all of this has now come under the judgment of he who sits upon the throne. We are in the time of that which was prophesied, wherein the judgments of the Lord will cause all things to collapse, not just in what you see now in the world of men, but in all the past nations as well, right back to the time of Noah. These individual nations were created by the Lord for his purpose. He is going to redeem them all and all members of each nation, but he will not redeem nor repair nor save the governing bodies that these nations had as their head powers. The governments of man will not be redeemed. They will be destroyed. I say this to you in prophecy, that not one single nation that has ever existed up till the beginning of the millennium will be permitted to keep its government. The Lord created the nations, but he did not create their governments. Because of the hardness of our hearts and the wickedness of our carnal minds, the Lord permitted policing bodies to be raised up to enact laws to keep the populace in check. But now this will all come undone. We are at the time of great havoc in the world, and the Lord is the one who is creating this havoc and is doing the destroying. He is a destructive wind of judgment, which is now falling upon the world of men. You will see this, dear reader of this page, with your very own eyes. Nothing of the building of man will survive this. But the Lord will redeem each nation, minus their government, to bring their glory and honor, as created by him, into the kingdom of God. When Jesus died upon the cross, his spirit went forth out of his body, which hung upon the tree, and he went forth and tore open the veil of the temple, raised the dead, which waited for this consolation to happen, and then he descended into the lowest hell and there preached to the spirits which had died during Noah's flood, as well as all who died prior to Noah's flood. These that died in that flood were of the first world. When he was raised from the dead, and when he ascended, he took the spirits of all these dead with him into the kingdom of God. These conglomerate spirits were the clouds that received Jesus out of the disciples' eyesight. Jesus redeemed the mass of humanity that perished in the end of the first world, and he is going to redeem the mass of humanity that will now be found at the end of the second world, the world we now see collapsing around us. Just as the first world was not permitted to enter the second world, except in the person of Noah, so the second world will not be permitted into the third world, the world of the Lord's reign, the millennium. Nothing of the second world you see being shaken apart now will be permitted to enter the millennium. It must all be removed first. You cannot bring anything from this world into the next. The millennium will be the reign of Christ in the earth. It will be perfect. It will be holy. There will be no temptation of demon or devil, and no man will be able to claim himself as a ruler in it, other than they that overcome and are granted that status. Mankind as a whole, all those you see now, will enter bare naked into the millennium, needing to be clothed upon with the simple garments of his kingdom and not of their own making. All man is held as dear to this world, and all the lives that lived and died in this world will not be allowed into the next, no more than the elements of the first world was allowed to enter the second. The curse will be temporarily removed in the millennium while Satan is bound, but at his loosing at the end of the third world, the Lord will once again hold forth judgment and will end the carnal mind. The true overcomer in our day has become of no reputation. By that I do not mean that they are not working in the world of men, earning wages and paying bills. They have no reputation when it comes to declaring who they are in Christ. They know only Jesus and him crucified, dead, buried, but then raised through the power and operation of the Spirit of the Father. If you are a true overcomer, you will not be recognized as having any value in the religious world of men, including all those who hold testament in Christendom, testifying of power in their lives, but denying that same power. You will not be held as anything important to the religious world. Your life will not be considered. You will not be accepted, and you will not fit into their activities or ambitions. The true overcomer will not be accepted as anyone worthwhile at all in the world of men for anything at all when it comes to being recognized as being one with the things of the kingdom of God. Instead, the world of Christendom will condemn and damn the overcomer, stating that their doctrine is tainted and their faith is vain, and that the overcomer is horribly deceived. Nothing the overcomer shares will be accepted in the religious efforts of men in this hour, because all they speak and do as overcomers is a foreign language to them. The overcomer abides in the Feast of Tabernacles, in their spiritual walk. They do not abide elsewhere. And the speech of the overcomer is not recognized by their fellow man, just as the speech of the disciples on the day of Pentecost was not recognized or understood by men in the early church. So far removed is the overcomer from all other things and from all people in this regard. When Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power at his baptism by John, he was rejected by that nation. They were unable to fathom that this lowly carpenter could be the Messiah. Instead, they looked for someone to come who would establish a kingdom in the earth, which would remove Roman power over them as oppressors, and instead, the kingdom of God would be the proof continually that the Jews were the chosen people of the Lord. Part of Jesus' passion was to be one who endured this refusal of the nation and this rejection of his true person. As he was rejected, so too were any of his words or teachings. As he taught them in parables, so too they did not understand anything he said, thus fueling their rejection of him. When Jesus did move in divine miracle, it was all to a feasting of Israel's flesh, not to the recognition of who he truly was, the Lord God Almighty, manifested in flesh and bone in the world of men at that time. The miracles of Jesus only proved to them to be a realm of fascination. For Jesus, it became later a testament against their ungodly works, as during his trial, he reminded Israel of his power in signs and wonders, and of his teaching them in the temple the things of the mystery of heaven. So now the overcomer is in the same trial. They are not recognized as having any value at all by the world of Christendom. Just as blindness happened to Israel, so blindness has also happened to Christendom. We will soon cover the mystery of Israel's blindness and see just how much we still need to be wary of this in the present world of men. This blindness affects Israel to this day and Christendom to this day. Both Israel and Christianity will enter the millennium as students, ones who will learn from the beginning the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. Right at this very moment, even as you read this paper, Jesus is ruling in the affairs of men to bring them all to naught. He is ruling in such a way as to discomfit and destroy all that man has built, all so that he can bring about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God in the millennium will not be as the Jews once expected their Messiah to do, for they expected their Messiah to destroy the world around them, just as we are seeing this now, and to exalt their nation as one true nation under God. Instead, in this time, when Jesus is ruling in the affairs of men, he is ruling to completely remove from man anything at all that resembled man's order. Nothing that man built outside of the Lord will remain when Jesus has done this ruling authority. He has from the Father. So in a sense, what the Jews expected of their Messiah in that day 2,000 years ago is actually happening today, but on a worldwide scale. All that mankind and their nations will suffer loss, but all mankind and their nations will have that loss replaced with the kingdom of God. The Lord purposed that Israel would be a pattern of the whole, the typology of what would take worldwide, including the blindness they walk in. This pattern has come to the full now in the time of the holding forth of the scepter of his kingdom. Everything of man will collapse, so that everything of the Lord's kingdom will replace it. We have literally arrived at this time spoken of since the Lord first started to raise up prophets. That which they prophesied is happening now. We are on the cusp of the restitution of all creation. First, the destruction of all man has done, but then the restitution of all Christ has done. It will be something you will view with your very own eyes. May we see Jesus in his passion, and may we continue to follow this very same path. May we see Jesus in his glory and in the center of the kingdom of God, and may we come into that very kingdom. Away with prophecies of the destruction of the second world. Away with words of knowledge about the pressures of this day. May we see Jesus and see him alone. So what that all around us is under the sway of an earthquake, the threat of war or nuclear missiles? Away with all that would prophesy unto us of a demise of man's ways. Instead, let us look up and see the King in his glory. Let us see the kingdom of God. Let us see Jesus, who still stands the same yesterday, today, and forever at the right hand of the Father. May our eyes behold him in his royal majesty, the one and only true King of kings and Lord of lords. So what that the world around us is collapsing? So what that mankind cannot find an answer to the problems perplexing them? Away with it all. Let me see thy kingdom come. O Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is not going to be any further fixes for this world. History has come to the full. Mankind is about to enter the millennium, and nothing they hold dear now will be allowed to enter with them other than their own souls, which Christ redeemed. The age that is coming will not resemble this one at all in any way. No one king will be raised up and another put down. Only one king will reign, and his body with him. You cannot fix the money system, nor can you protect yourself from its collapse. You cannot fix the food shortages that are coming, nor heal the crops and stop the weather systems from destruction. You cannot fix the disparaging between the nations, the rattling of war swords, or the threats of one nation over another. There is no safe ground anymore for your feet to walk upon. The Lord has determined now to finish this world and this age completely, and to bring to this earth his kingdom, which will swallow up all other things. Seek the Lord for that humility that is needed to bring you through in the image of Jesus in the first fruit raised from the dead. Be ready, dear reader, to rise with him. Be ready. Gird up the loins of your mind and think with a mindset that is for that which is to come, not which has been up till now. The dominion and the kingdom and the power belong unto the Lord. Let his kingdom be your reward. He is coming, dear reader. He is going to glorify your flesh and raise you to be seated with him in ruling power of this world that is perishing. This honor has all those who have taken on the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, that the life also of Jesus might manifest in your mortal flesh. What a glorious time we are in. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.